Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Game Quest, EvolveQuest.com Game Day Podcast. I am Eric Kane alongside Grant Ramey, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Getting going from Neyland Stadium, Saturday night, 7:45, the kick on the SEC Network. Going to be a late one, and we'll see if Tennessee can win yet another rivalry game at Neyland Stadium here. Already won back-to-back at home against Florida and Alabama. GameQuest is presented by our great friends over at Premier Garage of Knoxville, East Tennessee's number one provider of custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Be the best Tennessee fan this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floors today at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. That is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. More from Premier Garage Knoxville coming up later in the show. Grant Ramey, fresh off the second bye week of the season, Tennessee a chance to rest, regroup, try to kick their feet up a little bit and get back from some injuries, but also a couple work days last week, obviously trying to stay in tune and trying to take advantage, make the most of the bye week. Obviously, everybody remembers the last time Tennessee had a bye week. It did not have good results the first game out. The difference, though, that was on the road at Arkansas. This one's going to be back at Neyland Stadium in front of the home crowd.
Two bye weeks were weird. I don't know if – I guess this was done in the past at some point, but it's just – I got so used to one bye week that it's just – and they're somewhat close together, it feels like, for Tennessee, after having just had one on whatever date that was before Arkansas.
From a content standpoint, though, we love it because it's another week of football season.
That's true. It's another week to not have to deal with an injury report, but that's a different topic for a different week. You got to be way better coming off the bye, obviously. I mean, you beat Alabama. That's what you had to do to kind of keep those playoff hopes alive. Now you want to keep that going, keep that conversation, be one of those teams. They're kind of all over the place in terms of predictions and projections and trying to figure out who has them in and out. But you kind of control your own destiny, like you guys were talking about on the VolQuest podcast earlier this week. Like, you, everything's in front of you. If you keep winning football games, you're going to be a playoff. You could go to Georgia and lose. If you win the other ones, you're probably, you're going to be in that conversation as a playoff team or a bubble team or whatever. So there's just a ton to play for, and you're coming home and you're playing a team that Heupel's had success against the last 3 years. You need to continue that. You need to, I don't know if it's a statement win, but you need to do some stuff that kind of gets you back on track. Maybe they took some strides in the second half against Alabama with this offense and the struggles we've seen recently, finally making some big plays when they really had to make big plays. You need to kind of pick up where you left off and kind of get some confidence, get some rhythm back.
Yeah, kind of. You're talking about what's at stake here. Obviously, it's a conversation where some fans are probably just like, who cares? Just win the game in front of you. I hear you. But in this era of the college football playoff, I mean, it's a week-to-week thing, and things change, and percentages change, and scenarios change every single week. And so kind of what's at stake for this game? Yeah, you said it pretty well the other day or just now. It's win the game in front of you, and you're going to be remaining in great position for the college football playoff. We know what's coming up on November 16th, and I feel like some fans probably think we're just already assuming that's a loss. I mean, that's not the case, but if you win out, you control your own destiny. You're in the college football playoffs. You're probably in Atlanta at 11-1, right? If you lose another game, say it's Georgia or whenever, as long as you win every other game, you're still very much in that conversation. According to ESPN's Football Power Index earlier this week, Tennessee's number 6 ranked team in the country, 68% chance of making the playoffs. Tennessee has a number 18 remaining strength of schedule because Vanderbilt's been a pretty good ball club this year. Georgia's left remaining on that schedule. Tennessee's current strength of schedule, I don't have it in front of me. I want to say it's like somewhere in the 30s. That's why you kind of, as weird as it is, like your best win is Alabama. You want Alabama to kind of look good. And I'm not saying as a Tennessee fan, you should be a Bama fan. I'm not saying that at all, but we're in this weird time to where you kind of need teams that you beat to keep on winning. And Arkansas beat you. And so you'd like to see Arkansas win every other game left on the schedule. But this Football Power Index still has Tennessee at 10.3 wins, 2.1 losses as its projection. So Tennessee very much in the driver's seat, but a huge game coming up against a team, Grant, that you historically own, 26 straight from 85 to 2010. That win in Neyland in 2020 was the first one since 1984. Tennessee's won 8 of the last 10. What Tennessee was to Florida is what Kentucky is to Tennessee. I know not as much because Tennessee's won 2 of the last 3 over Florida, but it's one of those games that you expect to win. It's not always easy. I remember Will Levis threw it like 29 times before halftime in 2021. Tennessee scored 2 big plays for touchdowns in the first 3 offensive possessions, and that game came down to the wire. It was a close game last year. Tennessee blew the brakes off Kentucky at home in 2022 in dark mode. Maybe that's a sign to come. But it's always a game that means a lot, and this one means a lot for Tennessee for right now and, of course, for the postseason aspirations that it aspires.
It does, and it feels different this time around because Mark Stoops has done good stuff at Kentucky during his career, but it feels like they're kind of at a crossroads where they need to figure something out. They've lost three games in a row. They almost beat Georgia at home earlier this year. What was that, 13-12?
Yeah.
They went to Ole Miss and won when Ole Miss is ranked number 6. That was a huge win. And then they come back from that, and they've lost, you know, they lost to Vanderbilt at home. They got blown out at Florida a couple weeks ago. And then they lost to Auburn, who really couldn't get out of its own way all season at home by 14 last Saturday night. So it's a game that Tennessee's had a ton of success in over the years. I mean, over the last 100 years, it's always been a rivalry where Tennessee has won a ton of football games, one-sided rivalry. And Josh Heupel, too, like you were talking about. That 45-42 game in, what was that, 21?
Yeah.
21, is that right? In Lexington, mm-hmm. They had the ball for like 14 minutes. That was one of the most insane games I've ever seen, like box score-wise, final score-wise. The domination 2 years ago when Tennessee brought out those black helmets, I guess that was for the first time seeing those. I mean, they've had a ton of success under Heupel against Kentucky, and you really got to continue that because you're getting a different version of Kentucky, it feels like. It feels like they've been better, more talented, playing better when you've played them in past seasons. So now you're coming home. You need to get back on track a little bit. The defense has been elite all season. You assume that's going to continue to happen. Now can the offense score points in the first half? Can they get off to a fast start? Florida scored 24 in the second quarter against this Kentucky team a couple of weeks ago. So Tennessee needs to get back to being that explosive Tennessee offense that Heupel has become known for.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've said it several times this season, like Kentucky, like who the heck are Kentucky? And we'll get into the stats and everything here in a little bit after we chat with VFL Ollie Lane, who's going to join the show in about 5 minutes. But I mean, you're 15th in the conference in total offense. You're last in points. You're last in passing offense. You're 12th in rushing offense. You are, you know, middle of the road in most categories defensively, 7th in total defense, 10th. Defense has returned to the SEC. I mean, Kentucky is – this isn't conference only. This is just overall. Kentucky ranks 10th in the SEC in points per game given up, but it's only been 19 points per game. Like, that's good enough to win in this era of college football. So, tip of the cap to the defense in the Southeastern Conference. Third in pass defense, but the last couple weeks, teams have just run all over Kentucky, and they're 12th in rush defense. You've got – Auburn that ran for 326 against them last week. You have Florida that ran for 197 against them 2 weeks ago with a backup tailback scoring 5 touchdowns. I said this on the Mailbag podcast earlier this week. It almost feels like, and maybe I'm off, or maybe if they lose this weekend, it truly will come to fruition. Kind of looks like they've quit on Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops in the offseason was going to Texas A&M, man. He was signed up, ready to roll. They don't want him. He comes back and said, oh, well, I just thought Kentucky's the place for me. And you don't forget that if you're in that locker room. So Early in the year, they were playing hard. And, you know, we've referenced the Georgia game and then beating Ole Miss. It's like, who the heck is this Kentucky team since they've lost 3 straight? So it's like, you know, you lost that game against Vanderbilt. You got blown out against Florida. Okay, maybe you quit on your head coach. And I just think this is the walking wounded coming into Neyland Stadium, and Tennessee's going to take advantage in a big way.
Yeah, I got back up to the press box. I guess this was after the Alabama game, and Kentucky was at Florida and is on one of the TVs upstairs while everybody was working. And just as it was happening, I kept thinking, man, it just feels like a quit factor. Like this is something where what do they have left to play for? It doesn't look like too much, and it doesn't feel like they're playing. And it's just you kind of hesitate to say that because that's a pretty heavy accusation. But if your play on the field, you know, represents that or whatever, then that it is what it is. I mean, if you give up 48, if Florida scores 48, a Florida offense had been struggling, a Florida team that had been struggling, they really kind of needed that kind of blowout. They hadn't had it this season. They get that a couple weeks ago in Gainesville. Then Auburn comes to town. That's a night game at home. You need to win that football game because Auburn has not been a very good football team this year, and they find a way to lose that game 24-10 in Lexington. So it does feel like kind of, I don't know, maybe in this era with 12-team playoffs, if you play yourself out of contention, I don't know how realistic it ever was that Kentucky was going to be a playoff team or had those aspirations, but once you kind of play yourself out of that, then it becomes, you know, a bowl game or whatever. Do you really have that kind of motivation that maybe you had in the past when it wasn't a 12-team playoff, when you weren't trying to get into the field? I don't know. But their play on the field certainly kind of looks like they don't have a ton to play for, and maybe they're not doing it. Now, they could come here and give Tennessee's offense fits if Tennessee doesn't get out of its own way and keeps missing on deep shots and all that stuff. But we'll see. Tennessee's offense needs to get some rhythm back, get some confidence, go back to moving fast, see some points in the first quarter, don't turn the ball over on the first possession, and get back to, you know, scoring a bunch of points.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky right now is 3-5 on the season, 1-5 in Southeastern Conference play. They have 4 games remaining in the regular season. They've got to win 3 of them just to be bowl eligible, and I don't know how many 5-7 teams they allow nowadays. I mean, everybody gets a trophy, I guess. But, I mean, 2 of those games remaining are at Tennessee and at Texas.
Good luck. Right.
like you're going to beat Murray State. Louisville's going to be a challenge, obviously. That game's at home. So this is your bet, and Kentucky's kind of having to lie in it right now, and we'll see. Again, I'm not trying to say that this is going to be a cakewalk and Tennessee's going to blow them out by 70. I think Tennessee could do that because I think Kentucky team is just not playing well, and this isn't a really good football team right now. But what an opportunity here for Tennessee to kind of get back and be who we all thought, at least offensively, Tennessee could be. I think this could be a big game for Tennessee, and we can kind of break that down as we continue to go on here with GameQuest and how that can happen. I do want to get to VFL Ollie Lane, get his thoughts on Tennessee recently with wins over Florida, with wins over Alabama, how it is playing against Kentucky, that rivalry, where that stacks up in the minds of a former Vol. All that and more is coming up next as we continue on here with GameQuest, VolQuest.com. I do want to tell you about our friends over at Premier Garage of Knoxville. Premier Garage of Knoxville are for Tennessee fans that bleed orange and white. Do you use your garage as some sort of man cave, watching football throughout the fall, maybe even trying to escape from the family a little bit? If you're like me, I like to start my college football Saturdays, especially when Tennessee plays at night, you know, escaping a little bit, watching game day in the garage, and maybe watching that start to the 12:45 game on the SEC Network. It's my place. It's your place. A place to kick back and relax a little bit and watch some football. Again, kind of a man cave situation. So here's a question for you. What better compliment for your garage, maybe a sanctuary of sorts, than Premier Garage of Knoxville's custom smoky gray hybrid polymer floor? Premier Garage of Knoxville is East Tennessee's leading provider for custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. If you go to PremierGarageKnoxville.com, I'm going to share my screen right now so you guys on YouTube can watch and see exactly what I'm talking about. That URL is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls/falls. You'll go to this landing page right here. Behind us, you can see the floor, speckled, orange, gray, white. It's beautiful. You can schedule a free in-home consultation right here. Name, email, phone, zip code, all that. You can see the floor. Look at this floor right here. And I have the sound muted this week, so that's good. But look at this floor. Look at the speckledness right there. That's gorgeous. That is gorgeous. You can be the best Tennessee fan you can be with that polymer floor right there. Smoky Gray Premier Garage. So go to PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. Go ahead and get signed up today for a free in-home consultation, all that and more. Premier Garage in Knoxville, they only use company employees as opposed to subcontractors to ensure that you receive consistent craftsmanship and personalized attention. 15-plus years in business, locally owned and operated. Thousands and thousands of satisfied customers. Schedule, again, a free in-home consultation by visiting PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols for the smoky gray hybrid polymer floor. That is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. So really appreciate our friends over at Premier Garage Knoxville. And as always, we thank our friends over at Price Picks for being a part of the show. Price Picks is fun. Grant and I played a lot last year. We played some this year. You can win 10 times your money back this football season by joining up at Price Picks. What is Price Picks? Well, it's the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the number. So instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, all you have to do is pick more than or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. So again, you go to PricePicks.com and you make your grid, at least 2, no more than 6. And you're simply, of the projections they give you, like I said, you're just picking more than or less than. We love more than because we like to have some fun here on GameQuest. But that's all it is. You can mix and match as well, college football, NFL. They've got rugby up there. They got soccer. Grant loves the soccer. You got a lot going on over there as well. So it's not just college football. but it's so much fun, and it's a way that you can win a ton of money as well. And check out this deal we got going on right now, okay? Prize Picks, play $5, get $50 instantly when you put in that promo code VQ. Again, play $5, get $50 instantly when you put in that promo code VQ. It's at prizepicks.com/VQ. Put in that promo code VQ, $50 once you play $5 in lineup. All that and more. It is at prizepicks.com/VQ. Ollie, a couple big wins in recent weeks for Tennessee. Of course, you beat Florida, you beat Alabama. Maybe it didn't look pretty offensively at times, but you know, a win over those two teams, that's something to celebrate. Tennessee 6-1, 3-1 in SEC play, right in the middle of the college football playoff conversations. At this point in the season, it's like, okay, far from perfect, but you kind of are who you are. Pretty good football team so far. What do you think of this football team through the first seven games?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not the ideal expectations that we all had for them, especially for the offense. But, you know, when you look at the season and where they're at now, I mean, they faced a lot of adversity, especially with some injuries early on and just some different offensive struggles that they haven't been accustomed to yet. I think they've taken it in stride and done a really good job of answering the call. You know, obviously none of these games have looked great, but, I mean, if you look at Florida and Alabama just separately, I mean, those are two big rivals. Those games never look clean. They're dirty fought games. And, you know, it's just at the end of the day, thankful that we came out on top, because those are the games that you don't ever really know the true outcome. What's it going to be before the game? Because, I mean, even though going into that Florida game, Florida wasn't a good football team, it's still Florida and Tennessee, and Florida and Tennessee is always going to be a tough football game. And the same with the third Saturday in October. But, you know, looking back at that game, I think the offense had one of its best games, especially against SEC play, especially in that second half. And the defense just continues to hit all the expectations. And honestly, to me, it looks like the best defensive unit in the country right now. And so, I mean, I think that's helping us out a ton, because that's something we haven't had in a long time, is that successful, I'm going to get in your face and ruin your day defense. And it's helped us a ton.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that, you know, if you think they're the best defense in the country right now, it's certainly hard to argue that, because they are playing that well. Number one stop unit in all college football. I didn't know what that stat was until earlier this year. And forcing three turnovers in the last four games from within the five-yard line will get you there. I want to hit on a number of things, but offensive line play. I mean, it was far from perfect against Alabama, but at least for me, watching in real time, watching the game again, like, a clear difference. That offensive line unit played much better against Alabama than it did against Florida. Why is that? What did you say? What did you see that maybe allowed that group to play better from Florida to Alabama?
No, I do agree with you. I think they played their best game so far to date, SEC play wise. And I, you know, I think part of that pulls into the fact that, you know, the third Saturday in October is just, that's that meat of the season. That's what you look forward to the most, and everybody gets jacked up. And we always, I, you know, if you look back at the past, I feel like our offensive line has always highlighted and played very well against Alabama in the past few years. And they did that again this past 2 weeks ago, and I think they did a really good job handling all the different looks and stuff that they were bringing to them and being prepared for anything that was coming. Obviously, still some mistakes here and there. You're never going to have a 100% perfect game, but I mean, they're cleaning it up. And I think that's, this performance against that team is going to set them up as a confidence builder and motivation to say, hey, we can do this. We just played a really good team and performed at a very high level. We can continue to do this and keep this consistency throughout the rest of our games.
Not that it had anything to do with the Florida or Alabama game specifically, but while I have you, I don't think I've done this on the record or not on the record, but on the show. Three-man fronts, kind of those odd fronts that have at times given Tennessee's offensive line and Josh Heupel issues, and Heupel in the offensive. I mean, Missouri in 2021, you guys just destroyed. It's not like it's always the kryptonite, but what are the challenges in that odd fronts, or maybe a stack look from an offensive lineman that sometimes cause the offense to slow down a little bit?
Yeah, so, I mean, when you're looking at the structure of that defense, I mean, majority of the time it's going to be like either the 3-3 or the 3-2-6. And so you get into a structure where you've got three true D linemen, you've got two true linebackers, and then you've got a third body that's, it's almost a safety, it's almost a linebacker, it's kind of in the middle. So he just kind of hangs in around the box but can drop into coverage super quick. So, I mean, as you're an offensive lineman, you've got now your center most of the time is going to be singled up on that nose. You've got two tackles on islands with the four eyes or fives. And now you've got your guards. They've got to respect those backers as true threats, especially if you're running like empty protection or five-man protections. Those guards are now locked on those backers, and they got to respect it. I mean, if they want to play in the box a little bit and kind of show that they're hanging in there, the moment a guard takes your eyes off of that backer, he's going to hit the gap. So you can't leave. And so it makes it to where it you get to help late. You get to those double teams a little bit later than you want to. And it just puts a lot of pressure on Nico to get the ball out quick, because now when he's looking at it, everything's covered. They're dropping back eight, only rushing three or four. But now you've got three or four, two or three of them are now solo island. They just got to beat the one-on-one block. So it puts a lot of pressure, especially on individual versus more of like a team combo to defeat it.
Kentucky coming up, obviously, this weekend. We've talked about Florida. We've talked about Alabama. We know Georgia's a huge game. We know Vanderbilt's a big game. It's kind of like talking about, well, who's Tennessee's biggest rival? It might just depend on who you ask. But, you know, Kentucky's very much in that conversation. It's the Border Bowl, right?
Yeah.
What did the Kentucky game mean to you as a player and to you guys in that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a big game. It's a rivalry game. As a player, and I don't want to say this in – heard any of the old traditional Vols and stuff like that. But, you know, as a player, I never felt like it was our biggest rivalry game. Obviously, with Florida and Alabama, I felt like we're always the big ones. But, you know, it's definitely still a rivalry game. I wish, you know, the beer barrel was still attached to it. I think that would put a little more emphasis on it, something to play for. But, you know, at the end of the day, it means a lot for us to go out and compete against rivals, and especially a Border Bowl like Kentucky. It's nice to be able to own our brothers to the north for another year. And, I mean, just at the end of the day, we try to play our best ball against our rivals. And we've done that the past few years against Kentucky, especially they always bring out a good defense. There's not going to be a Kentucky team that has a poor defense. And so it becomes the objective to see how well we can push ourselves to compete against an elite defense and create that separation within the game and enjoy a good victory over a rival.
Yeah, you mentioned that defense, and like last couple of weeks it's not performed well, and I think, you know, they're not as healthy as they want to be, but you know, guys that you've seen and you played against for the last couple of years are still there. JJ Weaver off the edge is a good player.
Yeah.
Deion Walker, I'm sure you blocked him a few times.
He's
gonna be a first round pick. I mean, he's a great player. Jamon Dumas Johnson coming over from Georgia at linebacker. Derek Jackson is still at linebacker. I mean, the pieces are there for that defense. It's just typical Mark Stoops, right? Mark Stoops likes to play big boy football, slow the game down, play good defense, run the football. It kind of looks like this, again, is a typical Mark Stoops defense that you better come to play, because I don't care what it says on paper. You know, they're coached well on that side of the football, at least.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I can tell you now that I'm on the backside of it, the game against Kentucky last year was probably my least favorite, worst game that I probably had to date, just because the Deion Walker, number zero, just he's a good player. He, like you said, he's going to be a first-round draft pick. He gave me a lot of fits last year, and luckily, you know, had number six back there able to make some different moves and get open on some of those screenplays that helped us last year. But, you know, like you said, Mark Stoops always puts together a good defense. I think that's his big ride home and his emphasis on his success as a coach, and he's going to continue to put a good defense out there. Obviously, they've had some injuries in the past, but when you look at where they're at compared to, you know, been looking at it, I feel like this game's going to play it a lot like it did, was it 2019, when they didn't have a true quarterback and they were running a bunch of like that triple option stuff, taking up a bunch of the clock. And, you know, I foresee that's probably what their game plan is. Keep the ball out of our hands, keep running the clock offensively, and try to keep the defense off the field as much as possible for them, because that seems to work for them. That seems to be their game plan of how they've attacked us in the past when they've had super, super bad offensive issues. And this is another year, another case where their offense is almost not even existent.
Oh, gosh, what was his name? I know exactly who you're talking about. He was an athlete. He was a receiver. He was like,
yeah, I was trying to think of his name the other day, too, and I couldn't. But I remember that game was the longest game I think I've ever been a part of. It was freezing cold in Lexington, and we maybe played 5 minutes total in the first half on offense. It was insane.
Well, in 2021, you guys won that shootout 45-42, but it was like 14 minutes of time of possession. You scored two touchdowns on the first, like, three or four snaps. Oh, what is that guy's name? Oh, no, where is he? Hold on, I'm looking it up right now. Lynn Bowden Jr.
Yes. Yes.
So in 2019, yes. Tennessee wins 17-13 in Lexington. Lynn Bowden Jr., who's a wide receiver athlete, mm-hmm. goes 4 of 7 through the air, 25 yards. Wow. He rushed for 114. C-Rod rushed for 81. Kavarez Smoke rushed for 60. I mean, they can always run the football, but mm-hmm. 4 for 7 in a Southeastern Conference football game.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That is wild, man. I know you haven't watched every single Kentucky game, and like, I mean, I've got stats here, you know, listed mm-hmm. on a notepad, but that didn't always tell the story. But you see a Kentucky team that, you know, battles Georgia, loses by a point, like 13-12, you know, goes on the road and beats Ole Miss, and you know, a month or two in the season, they're sitting at 3-2, and it's like, okay, well, you know, who is this team? Is it good? Is it bad? And then since it's lost 3 straight, and it's kind of weird to kind of figure out who Kentucky is. Like, you know, I talked about this with my co-host here on the show. Like, I don't want – it's a heavy mm-hmm. accusation to say it looks like that team's quit, but it kind of looks like that team's quitting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Kentucky? Because earlier they were a little hard to figure out. Right now it just looks like a bad football team.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, looking at them early on, especially when they got that win over Ole Miss and after the close game against Georgia, I'm like, all right, this is a good football team. They just had a couple bad breaks and they're starting to put it together. I think – where they're at now is the injury bugs starting to hit them hard. They're not having some of their key guys to be able to play all 60 minutes of the game, and they really need that to be successful because I don't know if they really truly have quality depth over there yet. Yeah, I think that he's done a lot to try to rebuild a roster over there and get the pieces that he wants, but I don't know how much of that has been getting development guys in there and not getting them fully developed yet to where they're ready to get out of there on the field. I wouldn't say for much because, you know, putting out there like a team's quitting is always kind of like a, like you said, super critical, harsh comment. I wouldn't say it as much as like they're giving up on the season, but I think it's got to do with the adversity of just having injuries and not having 100% health all across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, obviously not a healthy J.J. Weaver or Walker. I mean, those are two studs on that front seven and could have been a reason why Auburn ran for 326 yards against them last week. Ollie, we'll see what happens this weekend, man. Kind of what's how you thinking this game's going to go? Maybe a score prediction or maybe just, you know, what's your thoughts on Tennessee and Kentucky this weekend?
I think it's going to be a really good game. Like I said, I feel like some of it was going to play out a little bit like 19 from the Kentucky side. They're going to try to hold the ball, I think, and force us to be on defense for majority of the game. However, not to be mean, but I think whoever gets to 21 first is going to win this football game. I don't know that it's going to be super high scoring. I'd say maybe 28-14 is a good little middle ground. I don't think it's going to be close at the end, but it'll be a hard-fought battle for majority, maybe at that mid-third quarter when we start to kind of get some space and you see them wear out and tire out.
Yeah, I can see it being a close, you know, hard-fought football game for a half or three quarters. Mm-hmm. And then you hope, I mean, Tennessee's clearly a better football team. You hope that offense can kind of come alive there at the end and score some touchdowns late. So, Ollie, as always, man, thanks so much for your analysis, your thoughts, and bringing kind of a different perspective onto us here for us football fans. You've done it. You've done it. You did as recently as last year. Yeah. So, appreciate you as always, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome stuff, as always, from VFL, Ollie Lane, who's played in this game five, six, however many years he was here at Tennessee. He was here for a while. He's got a lot of memories of this football game. He knows what this Border Bowl means, and he knows what winning football is on the offensive side of the football, and hopefully Tennessee kind of gets back to that, Grant. When you look at Kentucky specifically, let's kind of break down the personnel a little bit. I mentioned it earlier. I mean, it's not impressive offensively, just a really bad football team. Last in passing, last in points, 15th in, you know, in the conference. In total offense, they turned it over 11 times. Who's Kentucky going to start at quarterback? You know, some of the chatter, and we'll see as the week continues on. We record this a few days before game day. They might go with Gavin Wimsatt, the former Rutgers starting quarterback who finished the game after halftime for Brock Vandergriff when he was benched against Auburn last week. His numbers are not good. 8 of 20 passing on the year, 2 interceptions, 93 yards. He has run the football 42 times on the year. He's got a couple of touchdowns. Brock Vandergriff has not been who they thought he would be. The former 5-star coming over from Georgia to Kentucky, 6 touchdowns, 5 picks, 1,200 yards passing, 57% completion. It's not been good. It's not been good at the quarterback position for Kentucky. I don't know who they're going to start. I think they'll play both. And honestly, Grant, it shouldn't matter for this Tennessee defense.
No, it shouldn't. And this is not a place you want to be, certainly, if you're Kentucky. Quarterback questions this point in the year, lost three straight. Those offensive numbers that you're talking about in the SEC, 15th, 15th, 16th, 12th, whatever they are, as low as they are, as struggling, obviously, as much as they are. I don't think – did they score after halftime? Wasn't that game tied at 10-10, Auburn Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't think they scored. And another thing, in conference games only, they've had eight touchdowns in six games. Eight touchdowns, six games.
I mean, it doesn't make sense much to me to change from the passing numbers that you just referenced, but at the same time, if the kid's going to run and if he gives you something a little different to look at with his legs, then I can understand it, or I could at least understand mixing quarterbacks and trying to, you know, give defenses something else to look at. But, man, November, whatever it is, second, lost three straight, quarterback questions, fans, you know, kind of moving on from the head coach. It's not a place you want to be, and it's a place where you go into Knoxville 7:45 against a Tennessee defense that hasn't given up more than 19 points in a game this season, which is an absurd stat. And they just kind of keep how many times have they turned people over inside the 3-yard line? It feels like every other week and safeties.
Three of the last four games.
Yeah, it's just crazy to watch what this defense has done. And here comes a Kentucky offense that is limping into this game that's got quarterback questions. You would assume this Tennessee defense just kind of picks up right where it's left off all season.
Couple of running backs who aren't horrible, especially when you look at the yards per carry. A combined 6 rushing touchdowns from their top 2 guys. But here's the difference. Like so many times, Grant, Kentucky's been great defensively, sound offensive line. You know, they've gone out and tried to get a difference maker quarterback the last couple of years. But they've always had a really good run game. Benny Snell, C-Rod, of course, you know, last year with Ray Davis. Smoke, you know, they've had a lot of good tailbacks lately. That's not the case this year. So you got an offensive line that gave up 22 sacks altogether in 23. They've given up 20 sacks in 7 games, so 8 games so far in 2024. They're blocking for running backs averaging 3.8 yards per carry. They've given up 45 TFLs. It's not horrendous offensive line play, but it's not as good as last year. Gerald Mincy was not the key cog that was going to, you know, keep everything rolling, you know, coming over from Tennessee. We'll see if he plays in this game. I'll be interested to see the injury reports as the year goes on. But I do think one of the biggest differences in this offense is the inability to run the football for big plays. Again, stats-wise, they're not horrible, but it's not great. And you're not able to take some pressure off your quarterbacks. The quarterback's been bad play. And it's been surprising too, man, because when you look at the weapons out there, I mean, Dane Key and Berrion Brown are good players. They've been good players in this league. We know Brown's a great returner, but Dane Key's a really good player. I guess I'm just kind of surprised. It just feels like this offense, for several reasons, has just never been in sync this year. And it's a shame because I think there's some pieces there to where it's a shame for Kentucky fans. Because I think there's some pieces there to where you thought they'd be okay.
You feel like Kentucky's always just a little bit frisky, and it doesn't feel like they're really that kind of level of maybe dangerous. And it goes back to, shout out Butch Jones, complimentary football. Like, if you can't run it, if you can't run the football, if you can't protect the passer, you're probably not going to be able to take advantage of those weapons that you do have on the outside. And obviously, going up against this Tennessee front seven, that's a very bad recipe. If you can't protect the passer, if you can't run the football, as talented and as deep as this front seven is, and as many players as they rotate and how they've played, not only at home in a night game, but on the road, I mean, all season consistently moving the line of scrimmage, stopping the run, getting after opposing quarterbacks. Like, that's not the this is not the situation you want to be walking into if you are that Kentucky front, whoever plays quarterback, whoever's running the football. Like, it's a tough task against this Tennessee defense for anybody, it feels like, at this point.
Look at the Kentucky defense, and, you know, across the board, I think this Kentucky defense is better than what it's shown. But, I mean, the last few weeks, boy, the secondary is not good. You know, DJ Lagway in Florida, big play to the death. But the run defense the last couple of weeks, whew. You had the Hunter from Auburn that had it just a career day, like 280 yards rushing. They gave up 326 on the ground to Auburn, gave up 197 on the ground to Florida, and not Montrell Johnson. It was Jaden Baugh, who had 5 touchdowns in that game, a freshman. And I think part of it's due. I don't think Kentucky's very healthy up front. Again, we'll have to see as the week goes on with the injury reports. But J.J. Weaver, who's an NFL player, he's banged up. Deion Walker, excuse me, the stud in the middle, who is an early round football draft selection this spring, he's not playing at 100%. But they've got names. Those two names, Derek Jackson's been there at linebacker for years. Jamon Dumas Johnson coming over from Georgia. He's an SEC veteran player. Pretty green back there in the secondary, but the front seven, when healthy, isn't horrible, but I don't think it's healthy. And Grant, the last few weeks has been just a disaster for that Kentucky defense against, you know, the high-powered offenses of Auburn and Florida.
Hand up, I had no idea the Auburn kid ran for 278. Like, I knew Kentucky didn't play well. I knew Auburn had to play well to career win that day. Game the way they did. I did not realize he went for 23 for 278.
Yep.
And you're coming to Knoxville to face a Tennessee team that does what? They handed off to Dylan Sampson a billion times, and he runs for a billion yards, and he's on pace for almost 30 touchdowns this season. He could flirt with the career rushing touchdown record in a single season if he, you know, stays on this insane pace that he's on. So, and maybe I feel kind of crazy thinking that this Tennessee offense is still close because they've had those open receivers. I feel like a broken record. We talked about this after the Florida game. Josh Heupel was talking about it. If you can come in and run the football at will and do whatever you want on the ground, that's going to make life so much easier for Nico, for his receivers to hit those, hit that stuff down the field, to kind of just move the chains passing wise. Anytime somebody's open, just give you so many more opportunities to hit those guys, because you're going to be running it and running it productively. Assuming you do what Auburn did, assuming you did what Florida did, assuming you do what you've done pretty consistently on the ground, which is go for, you know, 130, whatever, from Dylan Sampson and whatever you can get from the other guys. And maybe you run Nico a little bit too, going back to Alabama and the success that he had after he ran a little bit in that game. So it's time for them to kind of start clicking again because of the games you have left, because of what's at stake. This offense needs to better support a historically great defense, and against Kentucky, the numbers they've allowed, you'd expect Tennessee to be able to do that. But, you know, we'll see if it happens.
Something I didn't mention on the offensive side of the football for Kentucky, and this isn't new. I mean, it doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is for Kentucky. I like to play some big boy football. They'll have multiple tight ends out there at times, some 12 personnel. They play like four different tight ends, not at the same time. But Jordan Dingle, who Tennessee fans remember, he was on campus for Tennessee along with Holden Stays. Holden Stays committed first. Jordan Dingle went home, and then Mark Stoops said that, you know, Tennessee did a lot of shady business trying to get him away from there. It's like, okay, well, we live in an era of the transfer portal, so you tried to go to A&M, and the only reason you're back at Kentucky is because the fans didn't want you. But that's another story for another day. 12 personnel. Tennessee, the last couple weeks, since Florida, really, when opposing offenses go 12 personnel with two tight ends, Tennessee goes to a 4-3. Boo Carter comes off the field. Caleb Perry goes on the field. And Caleb Perry, a Kentucky native, just a couple of miles north, I believe, is where he grew up from Lexington. I like to watch. I'm big in trying to watch guys in homecoming games. Like, I was trying to say that Chaz Nimrod was going to have a big game against Arkansas. Maybe I'm off, but let's watch Caleb Perry in this game. Obviously, a guy that is already playing a lot more for this defense, especially with the injuries they have at linebacker. But he is that package guy. He comes in on a 4-3 along with Arian Carter and Jeremiah Thielander. And I like Tennessee and how they've been adapting the last couple weeks with that 12. You go 4-3 base, 11 personnel. You go back with your 4-2-5 with Boo Carter on the field. So I think that's something to watch. Again, as we do each and every time we record this show, knowing it doesn't come out until Friday night or game day, we will have our written component to this later in the week. So reserve the right to change it. Grant, give me a prediction for this game, score, and I kind of gave you a player to watch, at least defensively. Give me some predictions and or players to watch in this football game.
Well, I sat down to record this podcast, and I had 34-10 in my head, but I've listened to you for the last 30 minutes reel off some crazy Kentucky numbers, some crazy bad Kentucky numbers. So it's making me think maybe 44-10 Tennessee. Don't raise your eyebrows. What's the problem? Listen, I don't know how to predict this team. Actually, I got the Alabama margin right after missing badly the last two times.
Well, I mean, like, somebody asked on the Mailbag podcast earlier this week, like, over under 250 passing yards for Nico. And you know me, I'm a half glass full guy. I'm just like, give me the over. And everybody's just like,
what's wrong,
like,
with this
I understand
guy?
He's only thrown for over 200 yards, like, twice and whatever that stat is. Like, I get it. But it's like, I mean, come on. Like, sooner or later, like, he's good. Like, he's not a bad player. Like, he's gonna hit his stride. So, but having said all that, like, can the offense score 44 points? Grant, I don't know.
Well, here's my key. Don't fumble on the first possession.
Yeah.
They moved it so well against Florida straight down the field on that first possession. They moved it so well against Alabama straight down the field on that first possession. You score there, maybe it feels different. Maybe the offense feels different for the rest of the half, the rest of the game. It's weird how those two drives kind of played out very similarly back-to-back weeks. But I think if you can just hold on to the football, just play fundamental football, go down the field and score it, even if you just put a field goal on the board, whatever, just get some points and kind of settle in. I think they got to settle in a little bit earlier, find a way to settle in earlier. I don't know how that happens. But I think they can score it, because if you're going to be able to run at will, I think you can put up a lot of points, because you're not going to have to rely on hitting a bunch of deep shots or 250 passing yards or whatever it is in the pass game. I think if you can run it at will like teams have against Kentucky, that's a big deal at home, and you can score some points. And maybe if they do find some success early, they could try to keep the pedal down just to kind of get this offense kind of back in gear a little bit and establish some of that confidence. Player-wise, I would go Dylan Sampson, 178 rush yards and 3 touchdowns, because he's a touchdown machine this season. And the numbers that you're talking about with the Kentucky run defense, it just seems like as good as Dylan Sampson has been pretty consistently, as hard as they've rode him, he could have some big play potential and put up some chunk yards and get to 178 kind of, I don't know, not easily, but, you know, if somebody can go for 278 against Kentucky, 178 feels a little bit lighter.
It certainly does. All right, so the spread right now, the time that's recording over at FanDuel Sportsbook, 16.5. The total is 45.5, which goes to show you what they think about these two offenses here lately. So your score prediction was up 44-10?
44-10, like an idiot.
Well, that
okay. That make 2 of us?
I'll go give me, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I think this is the game. Like, my key or my player to break out or whatever, I think Nico's going to have a big game. I think the run game is going to be there early to help him. I think Tennessee's going to play 4 quarters of offense. I'm with you, man. Let's hope Tennessee doesn't fumble or turn it over on its first possession. I think this is one of those games where I think Nico finished so much better than he started against Alabama, made some big boy throws to win that football game. I think some momentum's going to carry over, and I think that some of those downfield passes, I mean, you're going to hit them, man. You got Tennessee's secondary or Tennessee's receivers running behind the secondary against Florida and Alabama. Like, you're going to connect on some of those eventually. Like you're seeing it. Like, Tennessee is close. We continue to say it's close offensively. I think you're going to hit a couple of those. I think you're going to play 4 quarters of offense. I don't think you're going to turn it over on the first possession of the football game. And I think it's a different looking offense, stat-wise and score-wise. So, yeah, give me 41 points for Tennessee. Give me 41-13. I think Tennessee's defense continues to come to play. And give me Nico to be on the lookout for. Breakout.
This I got a stat here, if I can pull it up, the insanity of this Tennessee defense. Todd Furman, did you see this stat? Actually, let me find it. This is good podcasting right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Tennessee's the only team in the country that has not allowed an opponent to go over 20 points this season. They're the fifth team in the SEC since 2000 to hold each of its first seven opponents under 20. The previous four all won national titles.
Heyo.
2003 LSU, 2011 Bama, 2012 Bama, 2021 Georgia. Now, I don't think...
Clearly. Grant is saying national championship or bust. I heard it, you heard it. I mean, that's what you're saying.
Somebody page Logical Larry. The ceiling is a national championship. Todd Furman just confirmed it.
I love that you will not let that go.
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah, you.
I'm just shouting out Larry. He called it.
Oh, fun
listen,
times.
Listen, you just post this YouTube at 7 a.m. We'll be fine.
Yes. 7:29. I'm going to go. Oh, fun stuff happening this week and every week. But it's fun whenever, you know, Tennessee football is. I mean, I was talking to your best buddy, Mike Wilson, the other day. And we were just kind of like, I mean, we are in such a great era of Tennessee athletics right now.
First of all, not my best buddy, my mortal enemy.
Your best buddy.
Mortal enemy, continue.
What is it, Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy? That's you guys. I don't know who's who, but
worst enemy.
That's you guys. It is incredible how great Tennessee athletics, this era that we're in right now. I mean, football is winning big games. Baseball just won a national championship. Basketball, Elite Eight. You feel like you're on the up and up, and the Lady Vols. I mean, look at the non-revenue sports and what golf's doing and track and field. And it's been fun right now. It's been fun. Of course, we have it all over at VolQuest.com. We'll have coverage for you leading up to kickoff, during the game, on just an awesome, awesome game thread. I encourage you guys to get in there and hang out with us. And of course, we'll have post-game coverage all Saturday night and Sunday. And we'll see if Tennessee can improve to 7-1 and 4-1 in SEC play and continue to be right in the thick of it for the college football playoff race. Big shout out to our friends over at Premier Garage of Knoxville for being the presenting sponsor of this show. East Tennessee's number one provider of custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Be the best Tennessee fans this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floors today. That's at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. For Grant Ramey, I am Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys so much for being here and listening to us here on GameQuest, VolQuest.com.